Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is my partner in crime, Mark Souza. We got some things to talk about in the world of football as we are on the road to Super Bowl 53, almost at 43. We are at 53 now, and we have media, the opening media day of the Rams and the Patriots. It was kind of odd. I will explain that later. Also, we have Alex Smith and his future in 2019, and what does this mean for the Washington Redskins, as well as an extension for a veteran head coach, and what does that mean for his team. And if anything else we need to talk about, we will talk about. But first things first, Media Day opening Monday with the Patriots and Rams. One of the most odd things I saw was Jared Goff and Tom Brady sitting next to each other answering questions, as well as Belichick and McVay answering questions. Usually teams are separated, but I guess not this year. It just seemed very off to me. Did you think it was odd they were all next to each other?
Yeah, it seemed very nice. I didn't like that.
You didn't like the niceness?
Over the top nice.
Like too much respect going around?
Yeah, I want to see
hatred,
a little bit more.
Animosity?
Mean, these guys are about to play in a football game for the Super Bowl on Sunday.
The most important football game of the year.
I want to see them.
Well, that and the Pro Bowl.
Most important game for many of their lives. I mean, maybe not Tom Brady, but for most of the people involved in this, it's the biggest game that they've ever played in. Now,
I would say like 50, 75% of them, I would say yes to that.
Well, at least, yeah. I mean, at least everyone on the Rams, you know?
Is there, Keith Lee's been in a Super Bowl? Is that Brandon
Cooks?
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks been in a Super Bowl, but... Yeah,
I think this one's more important to him based on the fact that he's facing the team that traded him.
Mm-hmm.
So he said in an interview during the media day, he's added fuel to the fire, quote unquote. And so what I take from that is he wants to beat them really badly. I think Keith Tlaib thinks the same way. Also, this is like Aaron Donald. Like, he remember there was only a few short years ago that in opening game against the 49ers, he threw his helmet down and got ejected, and it looked like he hated what he was going through. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's playing in a Super Bowl with a very talented, talented team. And as well as Dominican Sue, this is his first Super Bowl. And he's been on two teams before this. He obviously got drafted by the Lions, and then he went to the Dolphins. Now he's on a Super Bowl team in the Los Angeles Rams. Now the question remains just like, you're right, it did seem too relaxed, didn't it?
Yeah, it just seemed.
The first day. It is the first day. Give him a little bit. Give him some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure players will open up, and you know, maybe lose a little bit of the graciousness as the week goes on. I think
by Friday it'll be bad.
Oh, I don't think they can do any. I don't believe media day last Friday.
No. I meant just they will be like Twitter or something will blow up by Friday. You know, or just like. They'll get pumped by Friday. I think they're still relaxed, like they're enjoying the week as following going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it was most interesting for me to see Bill Belichick in a suit where everybody else wasn't wearing a suit, and we're talking about a guy who's normally underdressed, but he was overdressed. I don't know if it's just him being Bill Belichick in terms of him kind of just being, I don't know, rigid. I guess is the right word, just him doing things his own way, him going against the grain, I guess you could say.
I think the last time I saw him in a suit was him resigning as the Jets head coach in 2000.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of which, I think yesterday was the anniversary of that.
Sorry to remind you, Jets fans, yeah, but you had Bill Belichick for one day as head coach.
Yesterday was the anniversary of him, I think, resigning. Signing on to be the Pats coach or resigning. Yeah, one of those things. Do you know that he was 36-44 as a head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
That's not bad. It was the 95 Browns team that was about to move to Baltimore. So you
that
only...
is very interesting, though, because a lot of times in today's NFL, we would call that a retread coach. We would call that, why is a team trying to hire somebody who is a failure in the NFL? And it ended up being the best hire in NFL history, yeah, to be honest with you.
But like, and then the age-old question, what if he stayed as the Jets head coach? And we don't know. I don't think it'll be the same exact way. Do you see him? People are like, oh, he'll draft Tom Brady in the sixth round like he did with the Patriots. I don't know if that's true. Like, that's what speculations are always saying, but we don't know. Who knows? What do we see the Jets as this amazing dynasty and the Patriots as this failure of a franchise? We don't know.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, I mean, obviously it worked out great for the Patriots. That
they couldn't
franchise
get,
turned they, into a the, dynasty.
Arguably the greatest dynasty in the history of football. I don't think any dynasty in football, except maybe the Browns in the 50s, have been this dominant. Because the Browns went to 10 straight championship games in the 50s. Because I don't think that'll ever be topped.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had to do that, Brady's been in 9 Super Bowls, not all, and then, but he didn't ever went to 10 straight. Like, he needs to go to 7 more straight Super Bowls to tie that record,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't
was
think
that,
is
did
possible.
They play football back then, or did they play something that resembled football?
They played football.
Oh, okay.
They just had a humongous football, I think I remember back in the day. But no, they, yeah, believe it or not, people, the Browns used to be the greatest dynasty in football at one point.
That was what year?
In the 50s. This is like the 50s period. They started in the AAFC, the All-American Football Conference. Then they went to 7 of those straight championship games. Then they went to the NFL and went with the 3 straight championship games. I believe they won 7 in total.
That was before the NFL, right?
The NFL was around then, but not as it is today, obviously. But there was a bunch of different conferences, like the AAFC is the All-American Football Conference, which was separate from the NFL. But those two merged. And so they went into the NFL. So the NFL merged a lot of different football leagues. And then the Browns won 3. They went to 3 straight championship NFL championships their first 3 years in the league. So they were dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Their actually first game in the NFL was against the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. And this was supposed to be like, oh, this team is not as good as everyone says they are, because everyone knew they went to 7 straight championships and they blew out the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those statement kind of games, which is like, can you imagine today the Browns and the Eagles? Actually, well, I can see it now. The Browns and Eagles being the 2 top teams in the NFL. Crazy world we live in. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
There's your historical facts of the day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Interesting. So anyways, the Browns are still trying to recover that form from the 50s, I guess.
Yep.
70 years later.
Yep.
So anyways, regarding media day at this year's Super Bowl, yeah, it just seemed very odd with you have both quarterbacks exchanging pleasantries, both coaches, everybody was very, I don't know, small talk, gushing over each other. It just seemed all very manicured and manufactured, might be a better word, but it's just I don't want to see that, man. I want to see them. I'm not saying they got to fake it. Like, they don't have to go over the top, but I want to see them sell the fight a little bit. Like, you know, like when mm-hmm. you see 2 MMA fighters or 2 boxers up on the stage, like, you know, I want to see Belichick say, we're going to beat the Rams into submission. Like, that would be great.
Break their back, make them humble.
And I want to see Sean McVay say, we're going to run the ball down their throat, break their spirit, and then we're going to throw over the top, you know, like mm-hmm. something like that.
And to correct me, they went to 4 AFC championship games and 6 NFL. That's the Browns back in the 50s. Just clarifying. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. It should be a little more bloodthirsty. It should be a little more like at each other's throats. Because like, shouldn't like Rams organization be like, you know what? I'm pissed because they beat us and they had a dynasty in that champion. They build a dynasty off of beating us. So why can't we, why do we have to, maybe they're the stop to our dynasty, you know? So just an interesting thing to think about, how there could be a new dynasty waiting for the Rams in the Patriots' expense, just how the Patriots started their dynasty at the Rams' expense.
The one thing that did get a little bit of, I guess, controversial responses was Nickell Robey-Coleman speaking about Tom Brady, saying, essentially paraphrasing, but saying that he's, you know, past his prime. He's not the same quarterback that he used to be. That, of course, he's still the greatest, and of course he's a legend, but that he's, you know, playing like he's 41 years old, because he is. So that caught a little bit of controversy. I guess some people made a big deal about that. What are your thoughts regarding Nickell Robey-Coleman's comments?
I think he's just trying to, like, get under the skin of Brady, but he also kind of backed out on those comments. He was just like, you put words in my mouth type of thing, and I'm thinking Brady's still playing as he's great. He's still the greatest of all time type of thing. So he was kind of backing out on him, what he was saying, backpedaling a little bit. So I don't know what to think. But apparently on the local news in one of the, during the media day, someone on Reddit took a picture of their TV, and it's like it was a graphic that said Tom Brady, and below it said known cheater.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, right?
I think so.
Yep.
But that is that defamation?
I mean, did he cheat? Did he get suspended?
Yeah, true. But it just, it's one of those
defamation
things.
Defamation means that you have to say something that's not true.
Well, he hasn't openly admitted it. So
what does it matter? If you murder somebody, you get convicted of murder, but you didn't admit to murder, are you a murderer?
True. I'm just saying, like, that's kind of unprofessional on the newscaster's part is all.
You don't think so? Now, that I don't disagree with. I think it's hilarious, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a rivalry, right? Pittsburgh-Boston. I mean, I don't know. I think it's funny. Tom Brady got suspended for cheating. Like, that happened, right? Like, Deflategate happened. He got, what, 4 games? Was it 4 games, 3 games? I can't remember. That was when Garoppolo started the season for the Patriots a couple years ago.
I wonder what Jimmy Garoppolo doing now?
Making millions of dollars, where he was not at that time.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, his life has changed a little bit, I believe. But anyways, yeah, I think it's funny. It's all in good fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about Gronk? Sounds like he's considering.
He is dodging retirement questions, though. That's important to talk about.
He said that he'll be mulling over his options. So,
yeah, but I think this is it. What do you think? Don't you think this is it too?
Possibly. I do think he will retire. I think he was very close to retiring last
season. Well,
if
he got traded, it would have been a done deal, which would have been like the worst trade in history. But yeah, he can't go without Brady, but if he can't go himself, I think it's ready for him to call it.
Mm-hmm.
What year did he come into the NFL?
I don't know. He's been in the league maybe 7-8 years.
That seems like a short time for a tight end, huh? Because you've seen like Tony Gonzalez and Shannon Sharp and all these other great tight ends. Antonio Gates still playing today, playing for well over 10 years.
That's true.
He's only 29.
I don't know if any of them played like Gronk, though. So I get it. Gronk is just a physical, very physical player. I mean, the amount of punishment his body has taken is pretty nuts. I feel like he's broken many bones. I know he tore his ACL.
Especially his arm. His arm's taken a lot of brunt of his punishment.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where everybody reacts differently, and Gronkowski, he's just been involved in a lot of hits, a lot of punishment. So I think he's going to retire. I really do. And based on his
and
play
at 29, that's pretty young.
Based on his play this year, he looks like he's past his prime. He looks almost washed.
It's a shame, really.
I mean, you tight ends up? In the NFL, there's not very many great ones. There's like maybe three or four in terms of receiving tight ends, and he's still got to be in the top five or six. But yeah, he definitely looked different this year. And if he wasn't hurt, then maybe it's just time for him to go because of all the injuries that have accumulated on him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Do you see him? All right, let me ask you. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. He's been playing. He's been a great player. He's kind of slowed down.
He's a transcendent player.
He's definitely a difference maker.
I mean, people will remember Gronk, like, for a long time. You know, he's a transcendent player.
And he's a character as well, which attracts people. He's probably the biggest part. He's probably the biggest known partier of the NFL. Like, I know there's a lot of guys that party, don't get me wrong, but he's a crazy partier. He's pretty well known for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, he went to Arizona like me, and there was plenty of parties. There was never a shortage of that.
Yeah, but it's not Arizona State.
You are... Don't you dare say that to me again.
I mean, everybody knows Arizona State's a party school.
Arizona's ranked higher.
Yeah, by who?
I don't know. I think it was by New York Times or something. I don't know.
New York Times, man. That's hard-hitting journalism right there.
It was one of those main magazines. I forget which one it was. Maybe it was The Onion. Who knows?
I mean, Arizona State. I'm not saying Arizona's not a quote-unquote
You're just trying
school.
To get under my skin, so stop
no,
talking.
No, I'm not. Arizona State's a party school. Like,
I know
it's
it is.
The biggest party school in the country.
I'm not.
It's bigger than Arizona. I'll tell you that.
Why are you being such a jerk right now?
Why is that being a jerk? Because I said your school isn't the biggest party school in the world.
I never said that, but you had to bring up Arizona State, my rival. Like, why?
Because, I don't know, you said it was
Again,
a big party
being
school.
Being a jerk.
But I feel like your rival has you beat in that regard. Not that it's the biggest deal.
I'm going to have to disagree completely on that one.
That's fine. You can disagree all you want.
Number one, ironically, is Tulane University. I read that. I think that was on that was one of the sites, which is weird. Not something you would actually think about.
Who? What list is this, by the way?
It's on Niche.
Who?
I don't know. It's just a site that has an acceptance rate, overall grade, like, and all that kind of stuff.
Dang.
It has
That's the site that you need to go to settle the which college is the bigger party school debates. Niche.
Well, I believe there's also reviews. Like, there's like over 2,000 reviews per, so.
Gotcha.
It's one of those voting ones.
I just never heard of, like, somebody being like, hey, let's go to
Well, Tulane's in
University
New Orleans.
University of Arizona party, you know? Like, ASU.
Because you're never invited to them.
ASU is, like, a thing, you know? Like, everybody knows that. Everybody knows if somebody's going to ASU, why they're going to school there, you know?
Yeah, Arizona's just the same. I don't know why you're thinking it's different. Obviously, you're never invited to these parties.
You're, like, upset about
this.
I
am a little upset. Kind of ridiculous. Don't hurt my school. I'm defending my school.
Your school has better academic prowess than Arizona State. How about you just go on that one? Why does it have to be the biggest party school?
Because that's more important to people. are you? Yeah. It's kind of hard to tell, but – or not hard. It's like – Do you really care about the academic?
People in Chico care because Chico State got voted the number one party school by Playboy magazine, and that was like the biggest deal of all time. That like it's still a thing. Like people still talk about that.
Wasn't that like 2002?
It was a long time ago. Probably like in the 80s when it first was voted party school of the U.S. was I think 1987. It was like ridiculously long time ago, but the reputation has been the same like ever since. Like people still think of it like that, so yeah. Go Chico State, woohoo!
Yes, they're
undefeated.
Great. Yes, because they never play anybody.
Never lost.
Again, never played anybody.
Never lost in a
so
football
if you guys,
game.
But the thing is, if you guys set up a football matchup, you would have to forfeit because there's not a team.
No, that's not true, man.
That is true.
Anyways, now that you're over being butthurt about what I said,
oh, shut your mouth.
Maybe we should go to a break and then come back.
Yeah, we can. But first, I want to talk to you guys about investing. When investing and planning in your retirement, it's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings before the greatest stock market crash in American history. but this dark window won't be open for long. You can make up to 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. Find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There is a very short time to take advantage of this dark window. So once again, go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We were just finished talking about Media Day of Super Bowl 53. Now we are moving on to kind of more depressing news, as Alex Smith is most likely out for the 2019 season after his gruesome leg injury. And this begs the question, what does this mean for his career, as well as what does this mean for the future of the Washington Redskins?
I found it interesting that it's like just being reported, like, yeah, we know. We kind of saw what happened, and we've seen his leg since then. He's been out in public, and there's no way he's playing this year. So it's unfortunate. It's
well,
pretty
sad. His leg was kind of rubbery when it got injured, so unfortunately.
His leg break was as bad, if not worse, as Joe Theismann's.
That is arguable, yes.
How many games did Joe Theismann play after he broke his leg in the NFL?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah, oddly enough, same yard line. Pretty much too many coincidences when it goes to that. But I think most people are rooting for Alex Smith to recover. But I'm not going to lie, Jeff, I don't see him ever playing again.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
He's 34 years
old. He started off so well, too, with the Redskins. And it's just a shame we won't get to see if he will get over that hump and win a Super Bowl.
It's going to take him at least 2 years to recover. At that time, he'll be almost 36.
There was an image of him at the Washington Capitals game, if I'm not mistaken, and he was still in like his the most severe cast, and like still with what are those metal rods they have around?
He had a rod sticking out of his legs like from three or four different places.
Yeah,
he had a whole contraption around his leg. There's no way the guy. Like, we need to worry about him walking again before we talk about him running again, before we talk about him playing football again. You know, there's a lot of steps need to be hit before we talk about will he play. So for the Redskins, they must proceed like Alex Smith will never be back. That's how they have to proceed. Now, if he comes back and they have a quarterback who's good and there's a controversy, great. But they cannot rely on him to be back in a year or two. They just cannot. They got to act like they need a quarterback. So that opens up the question to, will they go after a quarterback in the draft? I guess that is a burning question. Or will they sign a quarterback on the free agent market? Maybe Nick Foles is an option for
them. That is the question I was going to ask you. Do you trade up and get a quarterback, one of the attractive quarterbacks in the draft, like a Kyler Murray or a Haskins, or do you go after like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Nick Foles in the free agent market? Because you kind of know what you're getting in the free agent market, but you don't know what you're going to get in the free agent or in the draft department. So are you looking for that future franchise quarterback, or are you just looking for a quarterback right now until you find that franchise quarterback?
There's no problem in doing both. Mm-hmm. Like, there's literally no problem in signing a guy like Nick Foles and drafting a quarterback in the first round. There really isn't.
Do you trade up or no? Or do you, like, think you get, like, a Daniel Jones type character?
You know, this will kind of be a...
Or Drew Lock.
I'll sound like a broken record when I talk about this, but it all depends how you feel about the player. I mean, I don't know how these teams feel about these quarterbacks. So when you say should they or do you, if they think that there is a franchise-changing quarterback and they won't be able to draft him because of how low they are, then they need to go trade up and go get him. That's just simple to me. Like, you got to do what you need to do to go get the guy that you believe in. If you don't believe in one of them strongly, then don't do it. If you're happy with staying where you are in the draft, picking the best player that falls to you, quarterback or any other position, then do that. It's just about who they like. If they fall in love with one of these quarterbacks and they say, I have to have this player, I have to have this guy on my team, then go up and get him. But it'll be difficult for them.
Okay. It is an interesting situation because there is a lot of options to go on, both in the draft, because there's actually more than just those two, Kyler Murray and Haskins. There's Drew Lock, who played extremely well in the Senior Bowl, as well as Daniel Jones, who won the MVP in the Senior Bowl. So there's more than just a two quarterback in this class. There's actually a handful of very talented ones. So it is the question of, it's all up to basically the ownership. It's all up to Dan Snyder. It's all up to the general manager. It's all up to what the Redskins think is best for their organization. So we will see how that goes, because they were showing up pretty hot with Alex Smith as their quarterback. They were first in the NFC East. Then he got injured and they went downhill from there. So that is the importance of how a quarterback's momentum and how good a quarterback can be when it comes down to it. And obviously, like a Mark Sanchez or even Colt McCoy was playing okay before he broke his leg. So they had Mark Sanchez, and that was just a no-go. Then they had a guy, Josh Johnson, who barely played in his career. So it's one of those things where you got to look at what's the next step. And we don't know their next step. And I think if they don't sign a quarterback by draft time, they're going to be trading up and looking for one.
And when I look at the draft order, I feel like the Redskins are the last team in the first round that needs a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the draft order, they pick 16th right now, or 15th, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers are behind them, the Browns, the Vikings, the Titans, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Ravens, the Texans, the Raiders, the Eagles, the Colts, Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs, Packers. Like, none of those teams are going to jump ahead of them. But the problem is
they have Jacksonville, that
they're not ahead
of
any of them.
Yeah.
So Miami.
Do you trade for the number 5th pick?
These are the teams ahead of them that could draft a quarterback. Miami, Cincinnati, Denver, Jacksonville, and the Giants. That's a lot of teams in front of them. So they would have to jump.
So the 6th pick is the earliest pick for the quarterbacks, most likely.
Well, the Raiders could pick one at number 4. We don't know how... We'll know going into the draft. We'll know if they have Derek Carr or not. If they have Derek Carr, then they don't take a quarterback. If they don't have Derek Carr, then they take a quarterback. Simple. We'll know going in. We won't know right now, but we'll know by April, 24th or whatever the draft day is. We'll know.
Yeah. But again, it's all a guessing game at this moment. But if I had to make a guess, if the Redskins were going to look for a quarterback, they have to trade to at least the 5th pick in the draft, and they have to give up a lot to get that if they want the quarterback they want. Or they trade with Jacksonville, which I don't think they'll do. The Jacksonville, that is. So you just got to look for a team willing to trade down.
Yeah.
That's not looking for a quarterback.
Or maybe they just go after Nick Foles and splash a lot of money his way, and maybe he chooses them over another team. I don't know who's in on Nick Foles, but it'll be interesting.
I'm assuming it's going to be like some sort of sweepstakes type. It's like going to be the Nick Foles watch, kind of like, I'm not going to say like Bryce Harper, but it's going to be an interesting situation to see who's going to go after Nick Foles, because I'm going to guess at least 5 teams are going to go after him.
5? Yeah, maybe.
You like, see less?
Well, are you saying every team that needs a quarterback is going to go after him?
Like, not
who
just,
are the 5?
I'm that's just an estimate. I'm also just looking at guys that really need a backup quarterback as well, not just starting.
Nick Foles is not going to be a backup quarterback, right?
Oh, it depends on where he goes, because it depends on where the money goes.
Yeah, but I'm okay. But if three teams want you as a starting quarterback and are going to pay you starting quarterback money, then you're not going to go be a backup anywhere, right?
I mean,
the dude's going to make at least $20 million a year from now on. I think we can just kind of get
that. Definitely think Jacksonville is going to offer him something. The Redskins are going to offer him something. I don't see the Giants offering him anything, but I do see like Miami. I see Jacksonville, like I said.
Denver is interesting too because they can get out of the Case Keenum contract.
But they've already kind of made that mistake before with Case. I'm not saying Nick Foles is a mistake, but they've tried a guy who's had a great one season or two seasons, but he's known mainly as a backup.
But Nick Foles has been around the league, has had success. He's been in the Pro Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. I mean, he's had success, right? I mean, Case Keenum was more of a one-year wonder, but Nick Foles isn't. Like, he's proven that he can play well.
But would that put you in, like, a paranoia situation?
I mean, what do you mean by that?
Like, we already tried this once with Case Keenum. It didn't work
out. But what are you supposed to do then? Like, never sign a quarterback again because it didn't work out?
I was thinking more along the lines of finding the quarterback you want in the draft and trying to trade up for one, going to a guy that you can marinate
but
yourself.
If you're going to say that they were burned by Case Keenum, weren't they burned times 10 by Paxton Lynch? They picked him in the first round. The dude played one game for them and got cut.
But that was a late first round pick, wasn't it?
Pick 15, pick 16, maybe.
That's still pretty late for a quarterback, at least.
I mean, come on, man. You're splitting hairs here. If you're saying that they're burned by Case Keenum, they don't want to go the fridge round. They haven't had success at all drafting quarterbacks.
John Elway just doesn't really know how to draft. It feels like.
And I mean, Case Keenum's nothing to write home
their
about.
Their best player was undrafted. So what does that tell you?
Case Keenum is nothing to write home about, but he was a lot better than Paxton Lynch ever was. Is Paxton Lynch even on an NFL team?
He is on the Seahawks.
That's right. He just got signed. So he was not with a team for like 6 months or 4 months or whatever it was.
Roughly.
Broncos cut him earlier this year. So, yeah, I mean, the Broncos are a possibility, though. They have to be a possibility. If they decide that they're going to cut Case Keenum and move on, they don't have a quarterback. And even if they keep Keenum, they sort of have a quarterback. So,
well, and you also have to think about Justin Herbert's going to be in next year's draft. Are people going to wait till him because he had all the potential? He was going to be arguably the number one pick in the draft before he decided to stay in Oregon.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he looks like a decent prospect. I don't know if he's such a draft. I don't know if he's such a franchise-altering prospect that you decide that's our guy in 2 years instead of just taking a good player this year. I mean,
but a lot of people are very high on him, though.
Right. But every year somebody's really high on a quarterback. Like, there's always a quarterback that somebody's really high on. But is he like an Andrew Luck type prospect? That's the question. Like, Andrew Luck was a top prospect. Cam Newton, those were regarded as like, okay, we need to trade up or we need to do whatever we can to get those players. Mm-hmm. Will a team do that for Justin Herbert? It's possible. The thing is about quarterbacks in college is that the mindset on them changes so quick. I mean, it wasn't long ago that Haskins wasn't a top five pick at the beginning of the season. I mean, he had the potential, sure. Kyler Murray, if we said a year ago that he was going to be possibly a top five pick and a Heisman Trophy winner, people would be like, yeah, it could happen. But it's just one of those things. It's a position where a lot of things can change. So, I don't know. Maybe they go after maybe a team really likes Justin Herbert and is willing to wait for him, but next year isn't Tua going to be the guy? Isn't Tua going to be the quarterback that everybody loves, you know?
Yeah, he seems to be very hot on everyone's list recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be Jalen Hurts that was everyone's list. Now he's going to Oklahoma, and now he might be the guy who gets the number one pick. Who knows?
Yeah, it's all... This stuff changes so often, especially the college quarterback. I mean, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock. I mean, I don't know. People's opinions of them change. We're going to see a lot of opinions change on the current quarterbacks in the draft change from now until April. Look at last year. Baker Mayfield was like the fourth or fifth best quarterback prospect going into last year's draft. On draft night, he ends up going number one. Like that was pretty crazy. That was pretty crazy.
There was something the Browns saw in him, but it obviously worked because he might be getting Rookie of the Year in the AFC offensively.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Looks like it was the right pick.
It's either him or Lindsay, huh? Would you say?
Yeah, I think Baker will win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lindsay, yeah, that's true.
People aren't really looking at Lindsay as the Rookie of the Year, but I know Baker Mayfield broke a record, but Lindsay had a
pretty... Even Nick Chubb has that argument outside chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Baker wins just because he's quarterback.
It's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But
he had a winning record, right, as quarterback of the Browns?
I think so.
Like in his starts, I think he had a winning record. Not easy to do,
and
quarterback in the Browns.
You also look at, like, well, in Philip Lindsay and Nick Chubb, they might be one of the top running backs picked in the fantasy drafts, so good for them.
Yeah, that's true.
So
next year. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're going to go to a break, but before that, I want to talk to you about investing and planning for your retirement. And it's always best to get advice from the experts. Best-selling author Harry Dent, America's number one economist, says the dark window is open. There's an opportunity to rapidly boost your retirement savings before the greatest stock market crash in American history. But this dark window won't be open for long. You could make 10 times the annual average stock market gain in just a few short months. According to the research of renowned Harvard economist Harry Dent, though, this window could slam shut later this year, and nobody on Wall Street is expecting it. This dark window is something bigger by far than anything he's predicted up to this point, and you could make 10 times the annual average stock market gain. Find out more by going to www.harrydentforecast.com. There's a very short time to take advantage of this dark window, so go to www.harrydentforecast.com to learn more.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Just finished talking about Alex Smith's injury and what that leads to the Redskins and the draft. Now we are moving on to other news. Some thought the Ravens were going to move on from John Harbaugh this year, but instead, since they made the playoffs, he has signed a four-year extension with the team. What are your thoughts on this? Should they have moved on from Harbaugh, or do you think...
It's interesting that we thought he was going to get fired during the season. There's a lot of reports that he was on his way out.
It was almost a foregone conclusion, to be honest with you.
And then they go on that winning streak with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, and all of a sudden we hear about the extension. So John Harbaugh signs a four-year extension. I think he's a good coach. I think he consistently has the Ravens in the playoffs, in the mix. They have won Super Bowl, so he has won. I don't really know what to say. I thought it was kind of a mistake if they were pushing him out or forcing him out, but no, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go with what's the word I'm looking for? You got to go with what's working, and they're making the playoffs, so that's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can't deny that for sure.
Yeah, he's much more successful than
I understand. I understand why people say they should move on from him. I mean, it's like they won a Super Bowl already. Maybe it's time for a new coach to take the reins. He's been around for a long time. I get that. But until he's going 4-12, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. You're not going to find too many coaches out there with the longevity that he has and a better record than he has. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with the Ravens, though. I mean, Flacco's another name that he's going to be most likely a free agent this year if they decide to part ways with him, which I believe they will.
We didn't even talk about that, but Alex Smith's situation. Joe Flacco might be the guy the Redskins go after.
Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, those are probably going to be the two names we're going to hear a lot about, unless there's like a wild card out there, like a Derek Carr or someone else that gets cut. It's going to be basically those two.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that will gain the most interest. I'm not sure how Eli Manning is still the starter in New York, but he is.
He's going to be the starter until he retires. That's just how it's going to be.
Talk about being loyal to one person, Jesus.
Well, it's, yeah, but what are you going
to do? The guy hasn't been good for like 4 years.
He hasn't been good since, well, that's being generous. He hasn't been good since 2011 when they won the Super Bowl. That's my opinion.
Well, he was good for a couple years after that.
Was he, though?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But it's been a while.
Very true. It's been a while.
Been way too long. They're very loyal to him. I get it. He won two Super Bowls with them, but at some point you got to pull the plug.
Yeah. They should have pulled the plug a couple of years ago, if I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm just shocked that they're still using him as their quarterback and they haven't decided to play someone else, or, you know, maybe they'll draft somebody in the first round. We'll see. They have opportunity here to really go get a quarterback. Maybe Haskins, maybe Kyler Murray. We'll see about that.
Yeah, there are this year. There are a lot of options at the quarterback position, both free agency and drafting combined. So it could be anybody. And we honestly don't know. Maybe Joe Flacco ends up in Miami, the retirement home, basically, of the NFL.
It'll be Joe Flacco and Le'Veon Bell as your two offensive additions for the Miami Dolphins.
They're not tanking then, if that happens.
Maybe, yeah.
Why would you tank if you have one old quarterback and one guy, and it's like the best quarterback, the best running back in the NFL, arguably?
Well, we don't know if he's the best running back in the NFL. He hasn't played in the NFL.
I said arguably.
I know what you said.
That's why I'm giving Levy. Well, he only missed one season, so.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't change much, at least.
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to get back in the swing of things when you miss football games, you know?
He obviously hadn't been training or something. He hadn't been doing signups.
He looked like he gained a little bit of weight, I'll tell you that, when they were showing those pictures of him jet skis and stuff.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's self-conscious. Maybe he just hurt his feelings. Are you happy about that?
No.
You apologize to him?
No. He's a professional athlete. He should stay in shape.
Well, technically, he wasn't a professional athlete last season.
Mm-hmm. Well, he should be ready. I'm sure he'll be fine when the season
I guess he starts. Was contracted, so he was a professional athlete.
I mean, he still had to stay ready. If he didn't, that's a cause of concern.
Well, I guess it depends on how he does when it comes to the off season. Once workouts begin and all that good stuff.
Are the Rams the NFL's next dynasty after the Patriots are done?
As of right now, I'm going to say
Take a look across the league landscape here and tell me which team looks most suited to have the next like 5 to 7 year run where you can really see them challenging. Chiefs, that's a good one.
I want to say the Saints, but I got to find out who the quarterback is after Breeze, because everything else seems to be clicking.
We can't put the Saints in there.
But the rest of the team
Breeze
is extremely...
Breeze is 40 years old next year.
But the team around him is extremely talented.
Right, but we know the rules about this. It's a quarterback's league.
Yeah. The Colts?
Possibly.
The Texans?
Definitely the Colts.
Deshaun Watson has been showing me maybe...
How about NFC teams?
NFC? That's a tough one.
I mean, I know that they are taking a slight step back, but maybe the Eagles?
Depends on how Carson Wentz does this season, this next upcoming season.
If he gets back to MVP form like he was.
Yeah, definitely. Who else was it? Like, who was in the playoffs this year? Like, the Cowboys, maybe? Question mark? I'm going to put a big question mark on them.
I'm going to say hard no on that one because I don't trust their quarterback or their head coach or their front office to make the right decisions every year.
Okay. That's a fair assumption.
Just because, what have they won, like, two playoff games in the last 25 years and everything's still the same, it seems like?
Yeah, very true. Just, I'm looking at young quarterbacks mainly. Who else is a young quarterback in the NFC?
I mean, I don't know if Jared Goff is the next great quarterback, but
the team around him is great.
The Rams with Sean McVay, who's 33 years old, they're already in the Super Bowl in his second year as head coach. They were in the playoffs his first year as head coach. They really have a chance. They really have a chance.
I'm not taking anything away from them, but I feel like there's still competition around them that's very talented.
Oh, yeah, sure.
One of the main teams in the NFC, you were saying were the Eagles, and I agree with you on that. But there are teams that are coming out of obscurity that are not good now, but have potential to be great later.
You would think that if the Vikings can figure it out.
See, I was thinking about the Vikings, but since how disappointing Kirk Cousins has been and the whole team has been in just general, I know he had a 30 touchdown season or something like that, but they expected a lot more from him, and the team just was very disappointing all season. So that's why I put that team in a big question mark, because the whole team looked not like they did last year at all, even though they were mostly the same team. Let's see. Any other NFC teams we should look out? We should think about.
I mean, not as of right
now. The Bears.
The Bears, though, they got to win a playoff game first. Like something, you know. Like this was the first year with Nagy, and I really loved what they did. But I gotta see it another year.
Well, if it was
like the Rams, like the Rams last year, for example.
True.
The Rams last year, I couldn't say this about the Rams last year, but now that they've proven that last year wasn't a fluke and they got better and they look like they could possibly win the Super Bowl. I mean, now I'm confident. That's kind of why I put the Eagles up there too, because the Eagles just had two good playoff runs, including a Super Bowl winning run.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. If it wasn't for the missed field goal by Parkey, would you put them higher on your list
of contenders? Depends how they would have fared in their next game. Honestly,
okay.
To be honest with you,
now I just think it's a fair assumption to think about the what if scenario.
Absolutely, if they come out and they play, so they would have played. Let's see, they would have.
They
played
were 11-5.
No, the Saints.
I'm pretty sure they would have played the Rams because they would have had a better record than who moved on to the other side. It was Dallas and
so the Rams were the number one seed.
No, the Eagles, Saints were the number one seed.
Sorry, the Saints were the number one seed.
The Eagles Rams were the two. Lost. The Eagles and Bears faced each other, correct? Or was it?
Yes.
Who do the Cowboys play?
The Cowboys won their playoff game against Seattle.
Seattle would have went to New Orleans because...
Wait. Hold on. You mean Seattle. Seattle lost. So.
Oh, Seattle. Dallas won? Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dallas got.
Dallas would have went on. Dallas would have went into New Orleans because of the fact
right.
they had the worst record than the Bears.
So the Rams would have went to LA.
Yes, no, the Bears would have went.
The Bears went to LA. Sorry,
the Rams would have already been in LA.
Yeah, Bears would have went to LA. Okay, so depending on how they did, now I know they beat them in the regular season, but like that's I don't care about that.
Gurley is on one leg at this point. Goff
if the Bears would have made that game interesting, if it would have been close, even in a loss,
I think it would have been close because the fact, like I said, Gurley had an injury. Goff has declined since that game. Would you agree? He declined since that last meeting against the Bears.
He had a tough stretch. I don't know if it was that game per se, but
But later, at end of the season, he had a tough stretch, which actually made us very concerned about their playoff hopes because of how Goff was playing. And
yeah, something happened to that offense for a few weeks.
Yeah, and we don't even know how much Gurley will play in the Super Bowl for that matter. That's a serious concern also. And then you also look at...
But going back to the... Mm-hmm. Going back to what you were saying about the Bears, I don't know. Like, I'd still probably need to see another year from them to say that they're on the fast track to the next NFC, at least the NFC's next dynasty, because the Rams showed it 2 years in a row, the Eagles showed it 2 years in a row that they're contenders, that they have kind of a good thing going. Because, you know, it's easy for a team to make a playoff run once. It really is. But to show... Because things change. Injuries happen. Personnel changes. There's a salary cap. So, like, there one thing in the NFL is you never have the same team twice. You never do. You there's too many. There's at least, like, 10 to 15 new players on a team every single year, which is crazy.
That sounds accurate.
So like, what other sport, really, can you say 20% of your team changes every year? Like, it's hard. It's hard to say. 20 to 30.
I can't think.
It's really hard. There's a lot of turnover in football.
Yeah, and it's also the fact there's 52 guys on a roster, right, and there's 11 guys on the field. So there's
bound to... 8 or 9 guys. You sign five or six.
Yeah, and you kind of you have to cut people.
Yeah, you get rid of either by cutting or players running out of contract. Mm-hmm. 15 players or so, about that, I'd say. So, you know, when the Bears... I fully expect the Bears to be good next year. In fact, I will say right now the Bears are the favorite to win their division next year. Them and the Vikings, I think, have proven... I think the Packers are now a distant third.
Do you think I think they're in rebuild mode. Even though they have Rodgers, I understand Rodgers is amazing, don't get me wrong, but the team around him is rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's not on the best of notes with, like, his teammates, which is a huge question mark for guys that are going to be free agents wanting to go to Green Bay if they want to deal with, like, a supposed headache that is Aaron Rodgers.
The last thing I want to talk about on this episode is the Madden simulation has the Rams winning the Super Bowl 30-27. What are your thoughts about the Madden simulation?
Well, from the reviews I've seen of Madden 19, this is the first Madden I haven't gotten in years. And I think it was like since... No, I've gotten a Madden every single year, like first since 2001. I haven't gotten a Madden yearly. And this one I heard was one of the worst Maddens. I know this is off topic, but it was one of the worst Maddens they've had. And based off that, I say that I can't trust it. But it makes sense overall that it ended on a field goal because it can't make it a blowout. So honestly, those Madden simulations aren't really simulations. They're like... Let's pretend these are two computers, but in reality, it's two guys just playing and making it a competitive matchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's scripted almost.
30-27, so that's your score. That'll be the game. And
Adam Vinatieri will sign with the Rams on a one-day contract and kick a field goal
they
for the
Greg
win.
The leg.
I know. I'm just making a joke on how the first Super Bowl went down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time they played in the Super Bowl 36 was that AstroTurf that was like concrete. That looked awesome, like, on TV, but it looked like it hurt like a you-know-what in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just concrete. That was just painted concrete, basically. That's what players said. So, have you seen the stadium yet for the Super Bowl? It's officially ready.
Nope.
They have the Rams end zone, and they have the Patriots end zone. The Rams are going to be wearing their their blue and yellow uniforms, which is the best decision they've made.
Patriots in white.
Yeah. But the streak of white jerseys being on, like, the last, like, before last season, before the Eagles won, it was Super Bowl 45 was the last team with a colored jersey to win a Super Bowl. So 46, 7, 8, 9, 50, and 51. 6 times in a row we saw the team with the away jerseys win a Super Bowl.
Interesting.
So then you look at last year was a home jersey again. So maybe that benefits the Rams. But I love the fact the Rams are wearing their yellow and blue. That's mm-hmm. my favorite jersey in the NFL.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Is that your favorite jersey in the NFL?
I don't know, but it's up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
The Niners alternates, the all white, was pretty gorgeous as well this year. The 94 mm-hmm. look. I love the black numbering. I thought that was gorgeous. There were some nice jerseys this year. I also like they're all the Rams all yellow ones too. Their color rush, I kind of like that. I kind of dig those as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think yellow is a different color than people like. It's not one of those original default colors people use. It's just a different color, you know.
Right.
So I just dig it.
Anyways,
I think that should do it.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Thursday.
Yes, today's Tuesday, so join us Thursday. We'll have more info about the Super Bowl and hopefully other things at the moment. But as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. That's Mark Susan, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.